The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Thursday, October 23rd, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, McLean County OK's Late Audit. Report clean, but was due in June. By Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. McLean County's fiscal 2024 audit, which found no significant irregularities, was approved by the McLean County Board on Tuesday, clearing it to be submitted to the Illinois Comptroller's Office almost 2 months after its extended filing deadline. Counties have 180 days after the close of a given fiscal year to submit their annual audits. However, McLean County is one of 19 Illinois counties to miss its filing deadline for the 2024 fiscal year, which ended December 30th for McLean County. Leading up to the initial June deadline, representatives of Clifton Larson Allen, the county's external auditing firm, notified staff that it was missing several key materials to complete the audit. Certain reports were estimated to be completed in mid-July, and McLean County Auditor Michelle Anderson had notified the firm that the county's annual finance report was still in progress as of mid-June. The Comptroller's Office granted an extension to August 29th, but the county missed that deadline as well. As a result, two property tax distributions totaling about $18.7 million were halted, and the auditing firm ended up billing the county thousands in additional services after the June deadline. The delay also required the board to authorize a general fund transfer in October to cover the county's lease and maintenance obligations to the Public Building Commission, which owns the Law and Justice Center and jail, among other facilities. However, administrative staff stated these setbacks have not impeded the county's daily operations. During Tuesday's special meeting, McLean County Finance Committee Chair Val Lehman highlighted some points of frustration for board members. One was a key position in the county auditor's office is still vacant after more than a year, and the other was public complaints about being unable to reach Anderson during normal business hours. She added that she hopes the board can learn from the missteps of the 2024 audit's handling and put in place some reasonable measures to ensure basic actions of the auditor's office are met on schedule. This could include bringing in a mediator to help county offices work together. We know that we cannot move forward in the same way that's landed us here today, Lehman said. In an email to the Pantograph, Anderson said Tuesday morning that she looks forward to 2025's audit and continuing improved communication. Sandy Perry of Clifton Larson Allen said no transactions reviewed by her office required guidance, and no significant policy changes were identified. She also warned of new requirements imposed by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, an independent body that sets all financial reporting requirements for local governments, that could delay the process. To ensure a smoother process going forward, Perry suggested setting up calls on a regular basis with the necessary department heads and making verbal requests as opposed to communicating via email. She added that Clifton Larson Allen needs to be informed as soon as possible of a potential delay to ensure staff can be reallocated in a timely manner. As soon as we know there's a problem, we can maybe act faster, Perry said. It also depends on people's vacation, turnover, and everyone else's same problems. And here is another story from the front page, headlined, Heartland Community College, Garden to Keep Legacy Growing. Living Memorial on Campus honors longtime lab assistant. By Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College is honoring the legacy of a longtime lab assistant with a new memorial garden on campus. Anne made so many connections and helped students in many ways during her nearly three decades with the college, said Heartland President Keith Corneal of the late Anne Pontius, who died in March at the age of 85. The Anne Pontius Memorial Garden was erected on Heartland's Normal campus, 1500 West Robb Road, to honor her contributions to the college, Heartland leaders said. The garden was made possible by the Pontius family, specifically her son Peter Pontius, husband David Pontius, and grandson Spencer Pontius, who is a student at Heartland. The family gathered during a particularly chilly Wednesday morning to plant the garden's first bulbs that will grow just north of the Instructional Commons building on campus, with a handful of close friends and Heartland officials. There was a group that played Mahjong out here on a weekly basis after a lot of them retired and so forth. But the chemistry garden was chosen here because of its proximity to the chemistry area, Peter Pontius said. We're doing a variety of hyacinths, tulips, and daffodils. So those are all the spring bulbs that will come up next spring. The garden can be seen from the window of the chemistry labs in ICB, where Anne worked for many years. She was one of the very first employees of the college, beginning as a part-time lab assistant in 1992. Anne Pontius served the college for 29 years and helped to establish Heartland's chemistry curriculum. After retiring from her full-time position, she returned just a few months later to work part-time as a chemistry technician, program facilitator, and skills evaluator. Her dedication to Heartland extended beyond her years of service on campus, but also through the support she and Dave provided for the Heartland Foundation, Corneal said. It is fitting that we have this space on our main campus as a physical manifestation of the legacy she has left in our community. Corneal said when she came to the school in the 1990s, Pontius likely had no idea of the legacy she would leave and the number of people she would touch. More important than that, the way that she touched students and helped them grow, and there's nothing more important than that, Corneal said during Wednesday's ceremony. Having this garden as a symbol of her legacy and her continued legacy and the growth that will happen from this provides the students with another space here on campus that they can see and enjoy. The next front page article is entitled, Heartland Bank CNB to Merge, by Ben Singson, Jacksonville Journal-Courier. Bloomington. Two major Central Illinois financial institutions have signed a definitive agreement to merge in a common stock cash deal valued at more than $170 million. HBT Financial, the holding company for Heartland Bank and Trust Company, and CNB Bank Shares, the holding company for CNB Bank and Trust, said Monday that CNB Bank will merge into Heartland Bank and Trust. The combined company will have about $6.9 billion in total assets, $4.7 billion in total loans, and about $5.9 billion in total deposits, according to a news release. It will have 84 branch locations across Illinois, eastern Iowa, and Missouri. The boards of both companies unanimously approved the decision. The merger is expected to be completed in the first quarter of 2026. The per-share price of CNB Bank stock jumped almost 15% in trading upon the announcement. CNB Bank & Trust is based in Carlinville and has branches across West Central Illinois, including in Jacksonville, Taylorville, Chapin, Pittsfield, Jerseyville, Carrollton, and Verdon. Heartland Bank & Trust is headquartered in Bloomington and has branches throughout Central Illinois and Eastern Iowa. Among the Central Illinois locations are Springfield, Decatur, Lincoln, Clinton, Farmer City, Gibson City, Champaign, Peoria, El Paso, Eureka, Metamora, Lexington, and Chenoa, among others. This partnership marks an important milestone in our ongoing commitment to deliver exceptional service and value to our customers, employees, and communities, CNB Bank Shares President and CEO James T. Ashworth stated in the news release. CNBN has always believed in the enduring strength of community banking, and joining HBT positions us to continue that mission with expanded capabilities and a broader foundation for future growth. Both banks have strong local roots in Central Illinois, have successfully expanded to larger growth markets, have excellent deposit bases, and solid commercial loan growth, stated J. Lance Carter, President and CEO of HBT Financial and Heartland Bank. The next local story is entitled HCC Looks to Pontiac, Lincoln. Healthcare, Career Technical Training, Expansion, Eyed, by Matus Janik. Lincoln. Heartland Community College is looking to expand healthcare and career technical opportunities at its regional campuses in Lincoln and Pontiac over the next 5 years. This is not a remodel. This is not a teardown. This is not a restructure. There's already great success happening in these places, said Chris Downing, Associate Vice President of Development and Community Engagement. We just have the opportunity to refine what's happening within our regional centers to make them even more successful for the communities that they're in. Heartland's Board of Trustees met at the Lincoln campus on Tuesday to hear a 5-year strategic plan for meeting community needs at both regional centers. Downing said the planning process started in fall 2024 when the college approved what it called an environmental scan of the communities it serves. This was followed by listening sessions in Lincoln and Pontiac. The scan highlighted a low employment participation rate in both areas and a need for healthcare workers and training courses, as well as technical education opportunities, Downing said. There is also a need for commercial driver's license training in Lincoln and opportunities for veterans, as well as introducing English as a second language courses in Pontiac to serve its growing Hispanic community. During the listening sessions, Downing said, people questioned the value of higher education and shared the difficulties of finding a pathway from college to a career. Other persistent challenges included a lack of transportation options around regional centers or to the main campus in Normal, and of childcare centers for students with families. In Lincoln, there are approximately 170 students enrolled, with about 50 who go to the center physically, while others use online options. At Pontiac, there are over 250 students enrolled, with around 80 who go to the center. To meet the needs of each community, Downing said the college will need to expand healthcare certificate and career technical opportunities at both regional centers, while working with local employers and stakeholders to help students transition to professional employment. The college is also part of a task force that will look at expanding childcare options in both areas while potentially creating certificates in childcare. But all this will not happen overnight. This is not something that we just magically do by ourselves here at Heartland, Downing said. It's going to be about connections. Downing said the college will need to look at expanding the current regional centers and working with area businesses and organizations to train students with the necessary equipment. But another challenge will be to find instructors. By 2031, the college hopes to bring in approximately 400 more students at both Lincoln and Pontiac. Downing said he and others will continue to work on the strategic plan and will bring forward a final plan in March for the board's approval. The board also heard from staff at the Lincoln campus about its new and ongoing offerings, as well as an update on its current operations. Jennifer Kirby, director of Heartland Community College Lincoln, said overall credit hours have increased from 2,043 in fall 2024 to 2,384 credit hours in fall 2025, including regular enrollment and the college NOW program. There was also a slight increase in headcount for adult GED and continuing education programs. This has been due partly to the campus offering more certifications in welding and for certified nursing assistants, while looking at other professional development training for area employers. Kirby said the campus is continuing to engage with the local community through workforce initiatives at Lincoln High School and with other Lincoln-based employers to address the needs in the area. Some of their recent initiatives include the Everyday Professional Skill Workshop, North Star Digital Literacy Program, and the introduction of two student ambassadors to represent the campus through Heartland's Student Government Association. In addition, the campus reintroduced programming for Kids at Heartland, with the most recent event covering healthcare opportunities. I hope that you see a theme that throughout the presentation tonight of collaboration and connection with our community, but also a partnership with our internal departments here at Heartland as well, Kirby said. And here is an article entitled, Woodford County Vets Agency to Move, by Steve Stein. Eureka! The Woodford County Veterans Assistance Commission office in the county courthouse is moving a few blocks south on Main Street to the county's annex. Commission Superintendent Alan Heisel said the move is needed because the VAC's current office setup in the courthouse violates HIPAA and federal privacy laws. The VAC assists veterans and their dependents with benefits, claims, and health-related issues. The annex offers the necessary infrastructure to achieve full compliance with HIPAA and federal privacy laws, including space for private consultation rooms, Heisel wrote in a letter to Woodford County Sheriff Matt Smith. The annex is already suited to our needs. This relocation also supports the courthouse's efforts to accommodate additional personnel by freeing up Room 106, creating a win-win for county operations. The Woodford County Board on Tuesday approved spending a not-to-exceed amount of $47,400 for the move. That's the estimated cost. Funding for the move will be placed in the 2025-26 fiscal year budget, which goes into effect December 1st. Also Tuesday, the board approved the hiring of Twin City Energy Services of Bloomington to be the county's broker for electric and gas supplies for county facilities for 2 years. Board Chairman Chuck Nagel was authorized to approve electric and gas bids, which typically expire on the same day at the close of business. "This agreement makes us nimble," said board member Dave Meinhold. Contracts with Metamora-based CloudPoint for GIS services and Tremont-based Liberty Systems to move and support the county's voter registration database to 10X also were approved. CloudPoint provides GIS services for Tazewell County, Peoria, Pekin, and Normal. The cost for a 4-year contract with Liberty Systems is $242,630 and is covered by a grant. In news reported to the board from committees, the Woodford County Health Department received a grant to purchase 12 sharp disposal kiosks that will be placed across the county. Representatives from the not-for-profit Cats of West Central Illinois organization met with the Public Safety Committee in an effort to establish a working relationship with the county's Animal Control Department. The cat organization could help the county in a cat hoarding situation by taking the cats, getting them veterinary treatment, and rehoming them. The Conservation Planning and Zoning Committee recommended getting rid of the county's $50 permit fee to install above-ground pools for several reasons, including the fact that above-ground pools aren't permanent structures and some are taken down during the winter months. The committee also increased the size of new sheds requiring a permit from 70 square feet to 287 square feet. The Finance Committee reported that the county's tentative budget for the 2025-26 fiscal year shows a $1.2 million deficit in the approximately $17 million spending plan. However, the county historically does not spend all the funds available in its budget. The Zoning Board of Appeals reported it extended for 1 year a special use in effect since 2022 for Christopher Keys to live in a travel trailer on agricultural property at 2021 County Road 1300 in Low Point. The Keys' home was destroyed in a fire, and Christopher Keys and his wife are living in the travel trailer until their home is rebuilt. Board member Jim Bauman, chair of the Road and Bridge Committee, reported that work on the County Highway 13 bridge in Roanoke should be done and the bridge should be open by Thanksgiving. Bauman also said the county has received a $3.9 million grant from the Illinois Department of Transportation for the final 2.25 miles of the County Highway 13 rehabilitation project. Combined with federal funds, Bauman said, the grant should cover 80% of the cost of the 2.25 mile section. Bid letting is expected in 2027. The board next approved these road-related items: the appropriation of $1.13 million in motor fuel tax funds for road maintenance projects in the 2025-26 fiscal year. For the 2024-25 fiscal year, $890,000 was appropriated. More seal coating is planned next year. A road use agreement with Illinois Solar Minonk Project so the company can use County Highway 2 from Interstate 39 to County Road 2500 East during the construction of two solar farms. The company will pay $24,600 toward a future seal coating of County Highway 2. Paying half of the estimated $50,000 cost to replace a 5-foot diameter culvert at 875 East Road in Metamora Township. Participating in the state bid process for up to 6,000 gallons of yellow paint, 5,000 gallons of white paint, and 60,000 pounds of glass beads for road work in the 2025-26 fiscal year. Finally, the board approved three reappointments: Nagel and board member Autumn Jones to the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission as the county's representatives for one-year terms, and Jeff Clean to the Clayton-Bennington Drainage District Board for a three-year term. And here's an item entitled, "Shooting Leaves One Dead, One in Jail," by Pantograph staff. Bloomington. A Bloomington man has died after a shooting reported Tuesday afternoon on the southwest side of the city. Officers were dispatched at 4:20 p.m. to a store on Fox Creek Road for a report of a person being shot in the parking lot. Officers arrived to find bystanders providing medical aid to a man with a gunshot wound, according to a statement issued by Public Information Officer Brian Jansen. He was taken to a local hospital and later transferred to Carr Foundation Hospital in Urbana. He was pronounced dead at 8:58 p.m. Wednesday, Bloomington police said. The Champaign County Coroner's Office identified the man as Van Wilson, 57. An autopsy is pending. Shortly after officers were dispatched to Fox Creek Road, McLean County Sheriff's deputies and McLean officers found and arrested Deshaun Bussell, 25, who BPD said fled in a vehicle after the shooting. He faces preliminary charges of murder and aggravated battery with discharge of a firearm. Bussell is expected to appear in McLean County Court this week. The shooting remains under investigation by Bloomington Police and the Champaign County Coroner's Office. Anyone with information is asked to contact Detective Ryan Strebing at 309-434-2357 or rstrebing@cityblm.org. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for October 23rd. Please stay tuned.